Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you today.
I want to round out our exploring the theme of peace, Jesus being the Prince of Peace. And today I want to talk to you about guarding your inner peace. I believe that Jesus delivers supernatural peace that will come and safeguard your heart and your mind. Jesus alone can bring the supernatural peace that your soul is desperately searching for. And I know today there are many people under the sound of my voice that are coming from a wide array of circumstances. Many people are here today searching for peace. That's why you came to church. You don't know which direction to go, which sort of life to live. Maybe you feel the Lord tugging at your heartstrings and you know that he's drawing you near. And you're searching for something. Some of you don't even know quite what you're searching for. I'm here today to tell you, you're searching for a peace that only God can deliver. Some people here believe that darkness is the only way about you, that you'll never find your way out of this darkness that maybe is on your mind or encroaching in your life. But I'm here to tell you today that there is a light that can pierce through the darkness, that it can come for you and lead you out. Maybe some people today feel like, well, my failures are too great, they're too numerous, they're too consistent, and maybe you even feel like I'm too fractured by them. I can never recover. I'm here today to tell you that there is a Prince of Peace that can overcome every failure, every mistake, every misstep, and he can deliver to you the thing you're searching for. Maybe there's some today that feel consumed with malice or envy or anger. You don't want to feel this way, but you do. Today, Jesus can come and he can pull the pin on that thing, release the pressure. He can set you free and bring peace to your soul. We know this because it's the whole gospel presents this peace. In Philippians, Paul tells us this. In Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Come on, say rejoice. He says, "Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let it show on your life." And he goes on to say, "The Lord is at hand. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now here's the key verse. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." And he ends this section of the letter by saying, "And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." I pray today you can experience the peace of God, because he is the God of peace. And he wants to deliver it into your life today. Let's pray. Jesus, right now, we give you this moment. Nothing else going on. No other distractions, no other plans, no other priorities, no other agendas. But today we ask for your Holy Spirit to come and speak. Even as I speak, God, I pray your Spirit infuses my words. It bypasses the heart, the mind, the hurts, and goes right to our spirit, Lord. And I pray today, Lord Jesus, you do deliver supernatural, eternal, internal peace that passes understanding. In the mighty name of Jesus, come on, all God's people said. Amen. Come on, all God's people said. Amen. 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 As Pastor David said, today is Palm Sunday, that mighty Sunday where Jesus came in what is known as the triumphal entry, where he comes on a donkey into Jerusalem over the Mount of Olives. And his disciples and the crowds, they shout, "Hosanna." It's a proclamation of praise. Of course, the Pharisees are there and they're frustrated, but they're always frustrated, especially when real praise is showing up. And so there's this struggle, this moment, this majesty of Jesus, who is the king, coming towards Jerusalem, which is the city of kings. He is the priest, and he's coming towards the temple, which is the place for priests. It is an intersecting moment in the history of humanity. It's one of those crux moments, one of those moments that really, really matters. And in the midst of it, Jesus does something so interesting. In the midst of the praise, the palm branches, the robes and the coats being thrown before him, he begins to weep. You wouldn't think that this is a setup for Jesus to weep. And yet he knows that in 1 week, everything's going to change. He knows that though his disciples, which is a remnant, are celebrating now, the city of Jerusalem, they're going to miss him. And the Bible says, and humanity's going to miss him. And Jesus, as he weeps, he says, if you had only known what would bring you peace. Isn't it interesting that from the depths of the compassion of Christ comes the desire for people to have peace? It is God's desire for you to have peace. Not to be filled with fear, not to be filled with agitation, not to be overwhelmed or overcome by condemnation. Sometimes people can get that confused with holiness. It's God's desire that your inner self would be filled with peace if you only knew. But they miss the things that bring peace. Or might I say the person that brings peace. And Jesus' desire is that we would find the one thing. The whole world is searching amongst millions of things, but he's saying if you only knew the one thing. Because see, it's the presence of Jesus, the person and passion of Jesus. It is his presence that carries with it peace. He is the God of peace. And he'll bring it into your circumstances. He'll bring it into your home. He'll bring it into your very soul if you will allow him to come near. But the problem was the people of Jerusalem, the people of humanity, they missed this opportunity for peace. They missed the moment. They missed the moment. Have you ever felt like you missed a moment that mattered? Like you should have asked for that date right then. And 10 years later, you're like, I missed the moment. You know, or you should have asked for, or you should have accepted that job when it came up, but you feel like, I missed, that was my moment. It sounds like, oh, I wish, or I should have. It was like a crux moment in your life. And you look back and you're like, that mattered. You know, sometimes it's a lot more difficult to figure out the moments that matter when you're in them. It's a lot easier in hindsight to see what moments were crucial, what moments were eternal, spiritual, what moments really mattered. Yeah, think about that line at the end of The Office where Andy says, I wish there was a way to tell when you're in the good old days when you're still in them. You know, it's difficult to know when you're in it that this matters, that this is special, holy, interesting, fun, and it's sometimes difficult to find that. And it's not until you're older or looking back that you can pinpoint. There's a series of videos on YouTube that's called Advice to My Younger Self. And they will interview older people and say, if you could tell yourself anything, what would you say to your younger self? And I'm stunned how many brilliant answers there are and how much these older people talk to moments. I would have told myself at 20, do this, go with them there, take advantage of this. As a young father, don't miss those moments with your children. And there's this well of wisdom that comes from knowing the moment and making it matter, not missing it. And Jesus says the problem of Jerusalem, the problem of humanity, is this. He says, you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. One translation says, you did not recognize the moment of your visitation. He was right there. He was so close. He came to Jerusalem, but Jerusalem missed Jesus. He came to humanity, but humanity recognized him not. What happened? They missed their moment. Can I tell you today, Jesus is still coming towards you. He is still moving in your direction. The way is still wide. The door is still open. The opportunity is there. Can I tell you, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment for forgiveness. Don't miss your opportunity for repentance. Don't miss your moment to come close to the Spirit of God, because it might not always be there. Don't think, oh, I've got enough time. Don't think, well, the door will always be open. Don't think like God will always be there. When I'm ready for him, he'll be ready for me. You know, like that painting that Michelangelo put in the Sistine Chapel, the creation of Adam, where God is stretching towards Adam, but Adam's hand is barely stretching back. Don't let that be you. When God is leaning towards you, when his Spirit is coming after you, recognize that this moment matters. If you are living a life outside of God's will, or you're living in your own lifestyle, or you're living in a life of sin, don't think, well, you know what? I'll have another chance next week. I'll have another chance next year. Like Felix, the governor in the book of Acts, he says to Paul, I'll call you back and we'll talk again. But he never called him back and he missed his moment. Don't let that be you. Grace is here. His presence is here. His anointing is here. You're in his house. You're among the saints. You're in the faith. Reach back towards God. Accept that forgiveness. Repent and receive grace right now. Is your moment. Don't wait. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the hour of forgiveness. For he's coming towards you, the Bible says, lowly and humble. And he's riding on a donkey. He rode towards Jerusalem on a donkey. You know what's interesting about this is in the ancient times, if a king was going to come for a city peaceably, he would arrive on the hilltop riding a donkey. And the city would know, if we surrender, there'll be no bloodshed. But if a king was coming for war, he would arrive on a horse. And it's powerful that Jesus says, I'm coming, Jerusalem, to you. I'm coming to bring peace. I'm coming to capture your hearts. I'm not coming to bring a political revolution. I'm coming to bring a supernatural kingdom. Now is your moment. And thank you, Jesus, that he still is coming to you lowly and riding on a donkey. But don't miss this moment, because he will come again. And the Bible says in his second coming, he will come on a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. And his robe is dipped in blood. And he comes to bring judgment and make war. Right now, receive the opportunity for forgiveness. Receive the olive branch for peace. Receive the open invitation. Don't wait till it's too late. Where God brings his judgment, let you now receive his mercy. Know your season. The Bible talks in the Old Testament about a group of believers, Israelites, called the sons of Issachar. And they were able to understand the times and seasons. And they were able to know what Israel should do. They had a supernatural understanding that brought wisdom to their actions. They could understand, they could recognize the season. Do you recognize the season God has you in right now? My kids, they have a hard time recognizing the season. They tried to come to church in shorts today. I know it's supposed to be spring, but it ain't. It's 27 degrees out there, son. You gotta recognize the season in order to respond appropriately to it. What season are you in? What's God trying to do in your life? How is he approaching you right now? Are you in a season where God's calling you to return, come close once again? Maybe you lived your life a certain way, you attended church, but God's saying now is the season of submission. Maybe you're in a season of testing where God is saying right now, you got to get this right. You got to bring wisdom. You got to go to the word. You got to pass these tests. Maybe you're in a season of surrender. Maybe you're in a season of growth where right now you have a hunger for the word, where you're coming to church, where you're listening to worship. Can I encourage you? Don't let your season pass you by, because there are certain seasons that bring certain grace. Don't just think that feeling to read the Bible is going to be there tomorrow. That hunger for the word is just going to exist. There are moments where you got to jump into it. I have even seen this when I go to prepare the word study. Some moments it's not there and I gotta fight and I gotta pray and I gotta fast. But there's other moments where God's speaking to me. And if I don't sit down in that moment and begin to write what God's speaking to me, it won't be there tomorrow. I'll miss it. Because the king is coming now. And he's coming on a donkey, and you can turn your back. You can be like the Pharisees and miss it. You could be like the city and miss it. I pray we're not. I pray we're like the disciples that recognize this is Jesus. I'm going to sing Hosanna. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to pass this test. I'm going to be led by God. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to grow. Here's a spiritual key. Supernatural peace is an indicator that you're in God's leading for your season. When you have a supernatural peace, you know, okay, that I'm following close to the presence of God. But if you're missing your peace, can I propose to you that you might be missing your season? You might be missing your moment. If you're filled with agitation or confusion, can I encourage you, come back to the Prince of Peace. Come close to follow again. Say, Lord, what is it? Where did I go wrong? What did I miss? Because I know that when you're walking with God, there is a supernatural peace within you, no matter what the circumstances are around you. It's a peace within you, and it's an indicator that you're walking with God. You remember in Psalm 23, where he said, he leads me beside the still waters. What is that? But that is a walking with God in the paths of peace, stillness, holiness, rest, contemplation, where God is letting you know we're going. And even if you do walk, because you will, through valleys, shadows, and death, you do not have to fear, because the God of peace will still walk with you. And you will have that internal dialogue with the Almighty. Lord, are you still there? Lord, are you still with me? And you'll receive the response, I'm with you. Let's keep going through it together. And God will bring you from one season to the next. But don't miss. Don't miss your moment. Jerusalem missed their moment. And in the end, they missed their peace. Jesus saw prophetically that what's to come because they miss him was destruction. He says there's going to be ramparts and walls all around you. Fire and burning and wailing. And in 72 AD, that's what happened, where Rome came and absolutely decimated Jerusalem. Because, see, they missed their Prince of Peace, so now came an Emperor of War. And they missed it, but I'm here to tell you today, the Prince of Peace is still coming towards you. He still is available to you. There's still this moment where if you reach out, he has already been reaching to you. Paul tells us this and says that the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard us. Look at that phrase. It surpasses understanding. In other words, it's peace beyond all reason, beyond all logic, beyond all circumstances, beyond the natural, beyond what should be, beyond what makes sense. It's a peace that you can't even explain to other people when they ask you, why are you handling this so well? You say, I don't know, but I've got a supernatural peace. Maybe it's because I'm not walking through it alone. It surpasses understanding. Do you know that you can operate in peace even when there's no reason for it? There's no logic for it. There's no circumstances for it. But you can still be operating in peace. And it is a peace that is so far beyond you. It's so much greater, so much bigger, so much more powerful. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen those rally car races where people will get real tight in and they're in little tiny city streets and all of a sudden these cars come flying 80 miles an hour through these tight corners and drifting. It's extremely dangerous. People are within, 8 inches of this car flying by and they'll wait there all day, hours crunched in, not moving, so that this car will go vroom, and that's it. Then they all shout, like, whoa, high-fiving, because they all almost just died. I see peace coming at you like that. You might be locked up, not knowing where to go, at a standstill, not able to do anything logically, but God says, I've got a peace, which is so much bigger, so much better, so much faster, and it's going so far beyond you. It's the peace of God. And God's driving right towards your circumstances. And the Holy Spirit's his navigator. Left, right, going to the emotions. Phone. It's beyond you. It's before you. Think of the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. Wherever the people were called to go, the Ark went first. But see, the Ark of the Covenant was a picture of the presence of God. His presence descended and rested within the Ark. And so God said, when it moves, you move, but you don't go before it. It goes before you. So when they were in the wilderness, the ark went first. When they went through the Jordan River in transition into the promised land, the ark went first. And the ark made a way where there was no way. And they were able to walk, the Bible says, through the Jordan as if they were on dry land. And when they went to Jericho and they had to defeat this first city, the Bible says that God said, let the ark go first. And the ark will surround Jericho for 7 days, over and over, walking. And he said, tell everyone else to be silent. Let the ark go first until the moment where I tell you. Then give a shout. But it won't be a shout. It won't be a shout of angst or anger. It will be a shout of victory. What does it come from? The presence going first. Can I encourage you? Stay near the ark. Stay near the presence and you'll receive peace. Stay behind the presence, the leading of the Holy Spirit, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Stay behind it, even when it's difficult. Even when the Holy Spirit prompts you to forgive when you don't want to, or prompts you to fast when you don't feel like it. And, you know, and there's a new special out from your favorite restaurant. He sometimes doesn't ask for the easy things, but stay in line with him. Speak life if he's calling you. Stay behind the presence. And make no mistake, if you can stay within the presence, within the word, within worship, around the saints, in the church, if you can stay in the presence, you'll stay in peace. In fact, God will fight your battles for you. All they had to do was let the ark go first and say what God had them to say. And the walls fell, not by magic, but by spirit. And God will fight your battle. Moses even says this to the people and to us. He says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. I want to encourage you, just stay near the ark and trust God. You don't have to position yourself. They got that job that you should have gotten. They got that promotion you should have gotten. That raise, that client you should have gotten. You don't have to undercut them. You don't have to become passive aggressive. Trust God and stay in the presence. Say, Lord, I don't know where that's going to end up. Maybe they needed it more than me, but I trust you. You don't have to position. You don't have to manipulate. You don't have to get your way. You don't have to control circumstances. You don't have to do it all on your own. Just stay near the ark. I mean, it's easier said than done, because trust always comes. It's always a test to trust, but keep trusting God. If you do, supernatural peace can supersede every natural circumstance, good or bad. Be still, his word says, and know that I am God. Supernatural peace can come even when there's bad news or a bad report or a misunderstanding or someone perceived you a certain way, think about you a certain way, have a negative opinion of you, or maybe you're going through a difficult trial or circumstance. Maybe you don't even understand why you're going through it or how you'll get through it. But even if you don't understand why or how, you know who. Who will stand by you? Who can go before you? Who is within you? Because please know, the Ark of the Covenant, it's lost. And as much as everyone wants to find it, and as much as Indiana Jones claims he did, the Ark of the Covenant is lost and it's unnecessary. You are the Ark of the Covenant. The Spirit now rests in you. And wherever you go, it goes before you. This is how you can have peace within you despite insane circumstances around you. Hear me, you could have a hurricane all around, but you could be in the tranquility of the eye of the storm because the Spirit of God is around you. Resting, your shield, your great reward. But what I've learned is that no one can steal your peace, but you can give your peace away. If you refuse to do that, though, and you trust in God, you're able to hold, as Moses said, your peace. And the promise is that God's peace will be your guard. And the peace of God, Paul says, will guard your hearts and your minds. Your hearts and your mind. How many want peace in their heart and peace in their mind? I think many times, a lot of our issues come from the fact that we have an unguarded heart and an unguarded mind. And an unguarded heart and mind is wide open to the enemy. every arrow he shoots will find its mark unless there's a guard. And he will shoot tons of arrows, constantly try and barrage you. He will shoot lies towards you. And if you have an unguarded heart, every lie can find its mark and begin to cause confusion in your mind. You say, I don't know what to think anymore. I don't know how to live anymore. I'm not sure who I am or what I'm called to or where I'm headed, because the enemy has figured out it's unguarded, so shoot the lies. An unguarded heart is wide open to hurt. And you know how hurt works. If your heart gets hurt, pretty soon your mind starts to contemplate the hurt. And it starts to ruminate on the hurt. And it starts to plot revenge for the hurt. You think, I'm going with the Count of Monte Cristo strategy. Step one, become insanely wealthy. Step two, steal that guy's girl. That's my strategy. Have you ever gotten hurt in your heart and your mind keeps replaying the conversation over and over, and you think, I should have said this. I should have done that. Next conversation. Now you're in the realm of imagination. Next conversation, I'm going to go there, and I'm going to say that. And it's like, you know what? Because it's unguarded, the enemy has become master over your mind. He gets to control and direct your thoughts. And believe me, I understand this is a struggle for everyone. This is a struggle for everyone to just continually be able to take your thoughts and keep putting them back under the presence, under the Spirit of God, bringing them into a place of peace. It's not an easy thing, but my proposition to you today is that there's a better way than just living unguarded, accepting everything. God, the word says, his peace will guard the gate. His peace will guard the gate. There is a gate in front of your mind, and there's a gate in front of your heart. And you don't have to guard that gate. Because some of you, you're the one saying, I'll never love again. I'll never be honest again. I'll never go there again. I'll never shop there again. And you're creating all these things, and you have to be on guard, and you're nervous, agitated, walking on eggshells. Everyone's walking on eggshells around you. You don't have to be the guard. The word says God's peace will guard the gate of your heart and your mind, almost as if it's a secure facility. And God's in the guardhouse. And when these things, difficulties, circumstances, you know, stuff sent from the enemy, when it tries to pull up and say, I'm supposed to be in there, the God of peace is standing guard, if you'll allow him. And Paul says, when he's the guard, he'll check the credentials. He'll check the credentials. And the credentials, Paul tells us, are this. Whatever is true. These are who gets access. Whatever is honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, these things, that's what we'll think about. These things can get in. But make no mistake, if they don't go into that filter, they don't, by supernatural right, they do not and should not have any access to your mind. God will stand at the gate, and when a lie pulls up, he'll say, whatever is true. What's your name? Oh, my name is Strange Lie. You're not on the list. What's your name? My name is Fear. Fear. Whatever is just, pure, lovely. You're not on the list. My name is Anxiety. Anxiety? Who sent you? Oh, Lucifer. What's your name? My name's Regret. Regret? Where are you coming from? Oh, just the past, back there. No. God's peace will say, I don't think you get to come in here. I don't think you have the credentials. I don't think you have the ownership, the access. Today, we need to serve some eviction notices. Because some things have come in and they've squatted for too long. They think they're in charge. See those people squatting in LA? On like those Bel Air mansions? I read yesterday that there's a new company that's formed called the Squatter Squad. And they're going into these mansions to kick these people out. And the way that they do it is they go and they live with the squatters. and they become more annoying to the squatters. So the squatters can't enjoy the pool and can't enjoy LeBron's backyard. These guys become so annoying to the squatters say, like, we are out of here. I want you to know the Holy Spirit, he's eternal, he's got time. He will enter in and sit down, and he will slowly begin to push those things out of your life, lock the door, bolt it, and say, from now on, we got a checklist. You're gonna have to stay in it. You're gonna have to maintain it. You're gonna have to keep inviting the Holy Spirit. But if you do, he can stand guard for you. My wife put this verse on her lock screen of her phone, whatever is true, whatever, so that there's just a constant filter. Because this is God's promise to us. I want to encourage you, partner with God. Partner with God to process the experiences of your heart and the reactions of your mind. Partner with God. You don't have to do this alone, and you really shouldn't. Partner with him. Let God help you choose the direction and the decisions of your life. Let him taste the sauce before you dish it out, so to speak. Say, God, what do you think about this reaction? And God tastes it. Oh, that's bitter. But what do you think about this one? Ooh, that's hot. Simmer down before you serve that. God, what do you think about this one? Oh, that's too many onions. I don't have a spiritual analogy for that one. Just too many onions. Allow God to help direct you. Allow God to walk with you. And you'll be able to maintain peace inwardly. I believe if you can trust in him, you can get the peace before you get the answer. Before you understand what's going on. Can I give you a short prayer that you could pray? It's short, but it's effective. God, be my guard. God, be my guard. If someone says something you don't know how to take it, God, be my guard. If an old feeling tries to bubble up, God, be my guard. It's a simple prayer you can repeat throughout the day. If you're nervous about how you're being perceived, you said something dumb, you walked away from a meeting, you think, I screwed that one up. But God, be my guard. Guard my personality, guard my reputation, but most of all, guard my internal state. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him, my heart trusts and I am helped. And it goes on to say, my heart exalts. With my song, I give thanks to him. With my song, you can have a peace that produces praise. You can have a peace that produces adoration, that produces joy. This is why Paul can say, rejoice in all things. Again, I'm saying rejoice. It's not that Paul didn't go through some very difficult situations, and yet his internal state was that of joy. I pray that that can be ours. Do you remember the time where Paul and Silas, they were in the prison? And the Bible says they were in the back of the prison, they were in chains, and it was midnight. So it's darkness, they're bound, door is closed. You don't get a worse situation than this. But the Bible says at the midnight hour, they began to sing praises. They began to sing hymns. They began to lift adoration. Isn't it powerful that they didn't let their external circumstances determine their internal state? No, they had a peace within them. They had a freedom within them that they allowed to come out of them. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know how God's going to save them. They don't know if God's going to save them. And yet they know that there is a God that loves them, is for them, and will bring them rest despite the circumstances. So they begin to shout and they begin to sing. And do you know the story? In Acts 16, all of a sudden there's a rumbling. The Bible says the foundations shake. The Bible says that the chains become unlocked and drop off of their own accord. That happens during worship. Bible says the door swings wide open and the jailer thinks they're all gone. The jailer says, I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose my reputation. It's not even worth living. And Paul has to say, hey, don't worry. We stayed here on our own accord. Isn't that powerful? He's so at peace. Even when the door flings open, he's saying, I'm still here. I'm waiting for you. Then the Bible says the jailer took them and cleaned their wounds. Say, Jordan, what are you saying? I'm saying that if you can have peace, it will produce a lifestyle of praise that will shake foundations, drop off bondage, and begin to clean even the wounds that the enemy inflicted. That jailer gets saved and joins the church. And then Paul writes to that church, Philippians, to the church in Philippi. Hey, rejoice in all things. God will protect your heart and mind. Let it be true. Let it be just. Let it be noble. And then he says this at the end. He says, and what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things yourself, and the God of peace will be with you. He's talking to the people that saw him set free from the prison. This isn't theoretical. He's saying, you saw me do it, and you saw what God did. Now go and do likewise. He's saying, if you're rejected, rejoice. Praise even in the prison. If you're hated, count it an honor. Walk with Jesus, and the God of peace will walk with you. I'm struck as we enter the Passion Week, I'm struck with this one moment. We're at the end of the Last Supper, before they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible says that Jesus and his disciples sang a hymn. On the eve of his betrayal, on the eve of his mocking and his persecution, and Jesus knew what was to come, what does Jesus choose to do? He sings. He walks towards agony with joy. He is the Prince of Peace. And he says, I'm going to teach you how to walk this way. I'm going to walk every step with you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just worship when I feel good. I don't want to just worship when everything's secure. I don't want to just worship when everything makes sense. I want to bring adoration even in the midst of adversity. I want to worship God from an internal state of strength, even if the circumstances are strange. Elizabeth Elliot says, the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. That's what sets us apart. That's why we can have peace. That's why there's something different about you and your reaction despite the situation. I'm not saying we deny the bad report. I'm not saying we bury our head in the sand. I'm not saying we plug our ears and we just say peace, 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 or breathing exercises. I'm saying that there is a supernatural, transcending peace that comes by the Spirit of God that can overcome any natural circumstance you ever find yourself in. It's an eternal peace. But I will say this. Isn't it powerful that what was within them, peace, joy, and freedom, what was within Paul and Silas, eventually manifested all around them? Like, they started out in bondage, but how awesome is it that by the end they were free? They were free internally, but by the end they were free. They were at peace internally, but at the end they were in peace. Proverbs says, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eventually what's inside comes out. And I pray that as God works on the inside of you, it extends and manifests all around you. You know, just like a hoarder. You know, a hoarder, that's not really a hoarding problem. It's a mind problem. They don't have a healthy mind. It's connected. Or if someone has poor relationships, ever burned bridges, that's a heart problem. Your heart and your mind manifest into your life. I pray as God gives you a spiritual peace in your life, it begins to manifest in your physical surroundings. I pray as God gives you a wisdom in your heart, it begins to impact your decisions. Now there can be promotions. Now you're trustworthy at work. Now you're doing well with your finances. Now your spouse can lean on you. And you say, is this because I'm wise? No, it's because the Holy Spirit has given me a measure of internal peace. It's being mixed with wisdom. It's happening on the inside, but now it's coming out. I pray the Holy Spirit can give you stability on the inside and it will affect all of your relationships. I pray balance that will affect your emotions. What am I saying? I'm saying that when there is peace within you, it will manifest through you and it will affect all around you. I'm telling you that your spirit will determine your surroundings. Come on, not the other way around. And the spirit that we have received is a spirit of love, joy, and peace. Can you say amen? Amen? Let me ask you today. Look at your surroundings. Your life, relationships, are they peaceful? If they're not, maybe you need to repent. If it's teetering, maybe you need to reintegrate some practices. Now, I'm grateful that it's starting to warm up, you know, so that I can have my coffee and read the Bible so it's not dark forever. Take a prayer walk, you know. Reintegrate some practices, fasting, you know, spiritual conversations, worship. Why? Because I want my soul to be at peace. Therefore, my surroundings will be at peace. Or maybe you've walked away today. Return. Return. Get close to the presence of Jesus because it carries peace for the soul with it. Can you say amen? Come close once again. And then I think you'll be able to rejoice in all things. Then I think you'll be able to be anxious for nothing. Then I think the peace of God will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. The God of peace will be with you.
Thanks for listening to the Awakening Podcast. We hope this message has encouraged you. If you want to learn more about our church, visit us online at awakening.global. We'll see you soon.